Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 130 of the Planet Destiny podcast. We did it, everyone. We made it to 130. Congratulations. A round of applause. Woo! Everybody, we did it.
Yay!
We did, how many other podcasts can say that they've made it to 130 episodes? This one can. But how are you guys doing? We have got our usual roundtable of hosts here, as well as a very, very swole and very, very special guest. And Mr. Swole's over here, the Swoley Bible himself, will be joining us on this podcast. How's it going, sir? What's up? Why don't you tell the people where you're from, what you do, and how you got so swole? Can't see it, but I'm flexing. I'm flexing hard right now.
I bet you look good. All right, guys, I'm Swoley Bible. I'm a Destiny streamer. I stream every single day for about 2 years now, I guess. It's a PvP-focused channel that we do. Everything is basically just like trials or sweats or skirmishes or something like that. But we mainly just focus on building a good, positive community with each other, raising our eyebrows all the time like Mega over here, and just kind of trying to build a community that always tries to prop one another up. And that's really what we focus on. We like to get everybody involved. We like to make sure that everybody feels included, and we like to make sure that we're trying to help everybody do things that they haven't been able to do in the game before, whether it's things that I hate like raids or whether it's things like PvP, which I really try to focus on more than anything else. So that's just a little bit about me.
Swoley's going to fit right in with Fallout and Bones.
I was going to say.
What I'm hearing.
Yeah.
If you want somebody to talk crap about PvP, or PvE, I'm sorry. And
that's okay. We can talk crap about PvP too. We can talk crap about everything, man.
What is there nice to say about Destiny?
The PvP.
Yeah. It gets too real.
It gets too real.
Well, I mean, make no mistake, I'm going to be playing so much PvE come September, so we have 2 weeks to crap talk on PvE, but after that, I'm like a PvE boy for life.
Yes. Are you getting the tattoo of it, Bones?
Yep, fully committing.
Right here.
PvE guy only, right on my, right on my inner
line. That was a requirement.
Yep.
Destiny takes a lot more commitment than I was expecting.
So, Swoley, I'm always curious with everyone who says, like, I started playing Destiny. Was it Halo first, or did you come from outside of the Bungie realm?
Believe it or not, I actually probably have about 2 hours played on Halo cumulative total ever. So I don't know anything about Halo. People talk about it all the time, like, oh, is this gun in Halo, that gun, PvP in Halo, see me there. I'm like, nope. Nope. Definitely not.
I like it.
I grew up with SOCOM too, if anybody's ever played that, and I was actually third person shooter and competitive on there, and in the top clans and esports and all that kind of stuff. But since then, I went to MMOs and came back to Destiny because a friend told me to buy the game. He didn't end up buying the game to play with me, but I bought it.
He did.
Wait, so he just told you to buy it, and then you bought it, and he's like, "Yeah, you know what? Nah."
Yeah, my best friend from back home, like I was living in New York. My best friend from back home was like, "Yeah, yeah, we need to play games together again. This game Destiny's coming out. You gotta get it." So I went out. I bought a PS4 for it. I bought the game for him.
God.
And then he's like, man, I'm moving to Korea and I'm going to be a teacher. And he just never played the game. Like, great.
So you're like, God, I hope it's good.
Yeah, right?
Jeez. And then Swoley had no money to buy anything else, so he just plays Destiny still.
Play Destiny.
Yeah, man's broke. Right.
Do you need anything else these days, do you?
Nah.
Destiny 2.
Well,
I need that.
It's coming. It's coming. Hold on.
Yeah, we're getting there, man. We're less than a month away now.
It's
pretty crazy.
Oh,
yeah.
What is it? 14 almost done, baby. Till the PC beta.
Just PC beta. Mm-hmm.
Oof. Yeah. Oh, I ready forgot for I have it. To do that.
Right. Yeah, can't wait to get mopped up by all those damn Evan Cares.
Yeah. Oh, well. It'll be a fun session.
It should
of
be
game botting. Yeah.
Yes. Get those hacks warmed up.
So, Swoley, over the course of 3 years now, I'm assuming you've played since the beginning, but has your class changed at all? Has your subclass changed much? Do you play a bit of everything, or has it been anything the same since since way back in the day.
I like to play tank classes in pretty much every game that I play, especially, you know, I went to MMOs for a while, I always played the tank class, and I always liked, like, the big beefy class. Mm-hmm. So I was Titan for a while, and then I, you know, I kind of went with the meta, and then I went to Hunter with the, you know, the Arc Bolt Hunter when that was
class.
The meta.
Well, yeah,
class. I could never bring myself to play a Warlock, though.
Yes.
Just couldn't do it. But
what is that literal mean? Heresy.
Yeah, wait.
What do you mean when you say that? I think he means he's not a scumbag, loser.
Literal heresy.
I just couldn't bring myself to do it, man. I couldn't. It always felt cheap with the melee with the overshield or, you know, the fire. I couldn't go into the firebolt meta. It just felt so cheesy and cheap to me.
Oh, it's so cheap, bro. Okay. Hey, I'm really looking forward to watching you enter the latest D1 tournament and just sweep everyone with a Warlock. You'll just win. You'll get first place, right? You'll just sweep. This is so easy.
Gross.
Sorry. Okay. We're good. Gonna bring it back. Gonna bring it back.
Anyway,
I'm glad. I'm glad that you said that you played Titan for a while. Oh, I'm sorry. Keep going. Continue.
So I ended on the Titan.
Take a time out, buddy.
But Fallout. This is where Fallout. This is where you're gonna like me. This is when you're gonna like me.
Tell me.
I've already decided. D2. I'm maining Dongblade.
Yay! Nice. All right.
There we go.
There it is.
Maining Dongblade.
There we go. Right here. I can accept that.
Yeah.
Someone
just betrayed me. I can't deal with it.
It's a big change. I had to think about it a lot. I wasn't comfortable doing it.
What brought you to that decision, though?
I played Titan for the whole first day, and I thought it was really fun and super overpowered because you got the two grenades. And I was like, I just want to try what the other supers are, and I hopped onto Dawnblade, and the super was just so fun. Like, it was the most fun that I've had with the super in a while, it's fun. And the healing rift is super OP.
Yeah, it really is.
So I hope they don't nerf it, because I really like it.
All right, we cool now.
That's all right. Did you play any Voidwalker at all, or did you just stick with Dawnblade?
I played Voidwalker. I didn't like the super on Voidwalker, though, but it was really fun. Like, I think it's, like, a really well-thought-out class, just because of how you can... You, like, charge the grenades up so they do something different with each one and stuff, but I didn't like the super too much. But they have that second tier of like the subclass that you can unlock, and it looks like it's gonna be a really good class just because of all the health regen abilities and how slow you regen your health to begin with. So
yeah,
I think you're gonna find a lot of people using it for, I don't know, we'll see if people use it for carries and stuff, but. It looks good for it.
That's a good point, because we've heard a lot of news about things being tweaked, like supers are going to charge faster, grenades and all that kind of stuff. But has anything been mentioned on health regen charge?
No.
Nope.
Because I liked it, even though it felt frustrating, I liked the dynamic that it added to PvP, the fact that you had to be less risky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it also meant that you could secure a kill more easily. You know, if you pop somebody, they can't just turn around, skate around the corner, and in 4.5 seconds be halfway across the map.
Yeah.
And that's a change with the health regen and, of course, the movement system being a little bit slower, a little bit more terrestrial in Destiny 2, unless you're a Warlock, in which case you're just like a rocket ship. But I feel like it made a pretty good dynamic, and that was one of my favorite things about running Warlock in the Destiny 2 beta, just being able to pop some shots off. Maybe somebody gets my shield down. They think, oh, I got you. I pop that rift. My health's back. They're around the corner. They have no shield. They're half health. And I'm just like, that's right, Fallout. Mm-mm. Hands. Give it to them.
I miss D2.
Hold on. Keep the faith.
Let me ask you guys a question real quick, because this was a big topic of debate in my chat. Was the movement, like, just... how the movement felt on the characters in each one of them. Like, you know, obviously, like, Warlock is very... You get, like, a really tiny escape, but it's, like, nothing. But it's really hard to move around on because the jump is just, like, a straight-up jump, and you just float there. And, you know, floating is terrible in this game because you die so fast to team shots. But what are your thoughts on just, like, each class and the movement and just, like, the movement in the game? Like, did it feel clunky to you guys or what? Or did it feel smooth?
By the end of a week of it, it felt really fine. I think part of it was just the difference and the man, the discussion around the concept of like, you can't skate anymore was like the only thing ringing in my ears. But then once I got on the Titan, it's like, all right, I'm kind of skating. I just don't spam the button. And it's kind of like, it quickly punished you if you did try to spam, because you would almost fall out of the sky, right? So I think it was just that the actual breaking of that habit that made it feel slower. And I think what I haven't heard mentioned much is that the sounds are a little more visceral, a little more in your ear while you're moving. So you have this like notable like sound of your jetpack or whatever, and I think that sound registered more and made it sound like I was like, you know, taking some big chunky movement. And I don't know really how to describe that, but I think once that became second nature and the sounds kind of faded into the environment, then it just felt kind of smooth. But yeah, so much to just get used to. A lot of differences.
I agree with Bones. It was by the end, I felt pretty adjusted to the movement. Like, it wasn't terrible or anything. Like, it wasn't as hard of a change as I thought it would be. And another thing that I think kind of helps is there's different ways to move now. Like, now you don't have sprint lock, so you can run and slide and slide.
Yeah.
Like, you can keep doing that to keep yourself like moving a little bit, you know, faster around corners, stay low and stuff like that without as much worry, which I like. It's different. It didn't feel horrible. I think it just felt weird, really weird, when you've been playing Destiny for 3 years and you expect it to be a certain way.
Yeah, I will admit, though, that I think Titans and definitely Warlocks, specifically Dawnblade, have a lot more to get used to. I think Hunters translated really smoothly. The jumps were the same. And yeah, there was a different audio cue, but it felt the same. So I think that even enhances the feeling of, like, this Titan is slower, because it's more different than the Hunter. So Warlocks and Titans definitely have a little bit more to get used to. And I think that's even why Blink felt good to me, because I was like, oh, I know how to blink.
Blink feels really good.
It feels great. And it just sort of, it felt a little more natural, a little bit like I can pick up and play this, rather than that Dawnblade loadout, which was just like, what is happening? Why am I still in the sky? And now I really feel
like if you accidentally jumped on that Dawnblade, like too high.
You're stuck.
You're stuck.
Way too high.
I didn't like the movement at the beginning. We had a good chat about this a couple of podcasts ago. I really didn't like it. I got used to it, though, after a while. I think it's just from playing. I played a whole bunch of games recently before I started working a lot. And I think the main thing was, like, in a comparison to a game like Overwatch, where on PC, anyway, like, I haven't really played Overwatch on console, but on PC, the movement is completely unrestricted. In, you know, you feel really nimble and it's very responsive. But Bones brought up a really good point when I was having a good old moan about the movement, and that is the implications. What would happen if you sped it up? What would happen then? People would become incredibly difficult to kill, because if you tweak the movement, that has a knock-on effect on something else, and something else has to be tweaked to catch up with that. And it's like a big house of cards, dominoes kind of situation.
Yeah.
But it does. I think all three classes feel, when you play other games and you've played a whole bunch of other stuff, every single class in Destiny 2 feels more like a heavy vehicle rather than a person. And I think that the acclimatization to that, that's a bit of a, it's like a system shock or culture shock kind of thing, you know.
I thought Hunters felt really nice, though, compared to the other classes, just as far as movement went. I mean, with the dodge ability and the ability to change directions in air with the double jumps and the triple jumps and all that. Or did they have triple jump or double jump?
Yeah, triple jump was actually...
They had triple jump,
was better, wasn't it, than it is in D1. Is that right? Or was I tripping?
Plus the inner accuracy, like, I don't know, I feel like with the inner accuracy that they have in the game, plus the Hunter jump and the ability to change directions and not just float in the air compared to the other classes, I think that's something to kind of look out for in competitive.
Yeah, there's a lot of potential in the just dynamic engagements of a really good aerial player. I think the players who start getting that skill of landing shots in the air and not relying on, like, you know, RNG accuracy, and then just going like, I know how this gun works in the air. And I think that's something people are going to start focusing on more now that all guns can kind of do it, as opposed to just hand cannons. But yeah, a few plays when you really land a couple good headshots from the sky, you're just like, oh, this felt awesome. This felt super dynamic, a lot to this fight. I'm moving around more, and there's a lot to it. I think it's just going to take a lot of time to feel it out. But those who can will really, really do well.
And we haven't even played all the guns yet, so there might be like a whole bunch of guns and perks that are going to make inner battles even more, you know, touch and go. So that's going to be interesting. What did you think anyway, Swally, of the movement? Like, how did you find it?
I at first I didn't like it just because it felt like everybody said slow and clunky and stuff. But I really do like it now. But I don't know. Being on Warlock and being on, you know, loving Dawnblade so much, it's hard to get used to that jump because there's very few situations except for kind of like juking somebody out when they're running around a corner that I've really felt the need to have a floating jump like that. So I think I might, you
do
know,
we need
UE,
it?
I'm sure.
Do we need it? I don't know. Not even in PvE. It's like, oh, I can stay in the air longer.
Forever.
I kind of like the idea. I kind of like the idea that how we're talking, though, that like the hunter seems like it has the best in-air agility or best movement in the air because it gives the hunter their unique thing.
Yeah.
You know, like I like the idea of a game where the classes feel really distinct in certain ways, and
I love it.
The hunter, as the more agile character, should have the advantage when it comes to like a movement thing, because they don't get a healing circle; they can just drop on the ground whenever they want and just be unkillable with an overshield and their whole team. You know,
I think they did a really good job of making each class feel unique this time. Like, I feel I don't know. You could besides your grenade and your melee and Destiny. Destiny 1, it didn't feel that different each class you played. Like, it didn't feel like, oh, we need a shield or we need a healing rift or anything like that. It was just like, oh, we need a bunch of stickies. Hop on something with a bunch of stickies. But it feels like it's cool. You can get a lot of, you can do a lot with it. Like, if you really plan out, like, what you want to do as a team and how you're going to play, you can do a lot with the extra abilities they added. So that's what I'm loving.
Yeah.
So I'm excited, if you can't tell.
Yeah,
in the right place. Yeah. I mean, yeah, there was a lot of focus on Destiny. Always kind of had the notion of classes having certain roles that they could play in combat, and I think that was always best utilized with Night Stalkers, with the Taken King. Like, that is the support class in PvE, and you know, Bubble Titans to some extent for that too. And it seems like they really took that to heart with Destiny 2 with a lot of the classes. You get your extra healing or your extra damage from Warlocks with their Empowering Rift. You got a bunch of enemies like bearing down in your position. Titans can drop a wall right there that give you a couple of seconds to catch your breath, regen your shields, or reload or something. And hunters can reload by dodging. But we'll move on from that. But I really like the way a lot of the different classes felt. I would agree with you guys, and I said when you say that the Warlock jump was probably the worst for me to get used to, because I do main Warlock in Destiny 1, but once you hammer the whole surfing and skating thing from Destiny 1 out of your head, the movement was all right, and the only real problem I had with Dawnblade was, like you said, Swoley, just sometimes jumping and not realizing how high it sends you and how long it leaves you in the sky, where you thought you were going to be up there for a second or so, and no, you're up there for 3 seconds, and suddenly the entire enemy team is like, airball, smack it.
Yeah.
And that actually caused me to swap over to Voidwalker, even though I think the Nova Bomb was a little bit lackluster in the Destiny 2 beta. Blink felt so good. Just movement, the neutral game on Voidwalker in the beta just felt so good. I just found myself rotating to that class anytime I was playing Warlock. It was quick, it was smooth, and of course the other abilities on that class were really good too. Like, I didn't even know that as a Voidwalker you could charge your grenade and change its effect. That, like, blew my mind when I found that out on stream. And cool. I don't know. It's a cool class. I love the way the game plays now. But it's definitely a lot to get used to going from what we have in Destiny 1. That's definitely true.
I think it's good that they did that, though. What if everything was the same? You know, like, there was already a lot of, like, criticism of, oh, 1.5 Destiny. You know, like, you've got a lot of that. And if all the movements and all the character classes were more or less identical, you know. Bold changes. I think they made a lot of really bold changes. The only thing that I'm majorly disappointed about at the moment was the The recharge rates of things, I liked that. I mean, bummer. No, not as many supers as you'd kind of like to have, but I like the slower recharges. It just put a huge emphasis on gunfights in a way that we hadn't really experienced for a while, but that's gone backwards, hasn't it? But we don't know how much yet. We'll find out in the PC beta.
I'm praying they didn't do it too much, because I like the fact that I did think it was like, you know, you could get a 20 kill game in control and you sometimes wouldn't get your super until there was one kill left. So I hope they increase that a little bit so that like it's worth getting the super. But I just hope they don't change it to like everybody camps and gets supers and all that kind of stuff. Cause,
yeah, same.
Because I feel like it's really good in the way that it rewards players who are playing well with a super. Yeah.
Haven't they? Didn't they increase the score on control now to try to avoid 75
to 100 that way?
Yeah, by
it's good.
It's good.
It's a good change because matches were definitely ending very quickly in games of control. I was seeing some games end in 4 to 5 minutes, which was definitely a surprise, you know, again, coming from Destiny 1. When it comes to the supercharge rate, I mean, certainly we don't want every normal PvP match to be mayhem. I really enjoyed the reliance upon primary fire in the beta, and I want to see that continue with Destiny 2. I think they could tune the supercharge rate a little bit, and I'm glad they are. One thing that really surprised me, and I'm just going to assume it's a beta build thing, and it'll probably be changed in the full release, was that you don't get any super energy for taking cap points in control. That was a really odd choice.
Well, I think part of that is the fact that the points changed a lot, and it was so it's quickly. Something that one person can do at one speed, and I think it prevents the snowball, because if you did get super energy, it would nullify the rule that it doesn't charge faster, because you would be like, all right, well, let's all four stand on here and get more super and stuff like that. And I think just making the cap point more about more about the score advantage for your team, like go out and kill, it keeps the emphasis on playing and fighting, and rather than just, you know, hunkering down on objectives and things like that. Otherwise, the changes to the cap systems wouldn't be as big a deal. So I guess that makes sense.
I think it'd be cool if they did something like the first person who starts standing on the cap zone was the one that got the energy or something. But the reason that I could see it being a good thing for the game is because, like, let's say you jump into a game and you got two blueberries on your team who aren't playing together, a lot of the time they just run in and die and don't cap the zone, and they cost you the game, so it'll give them some type of incentive to actually cap the zone and actually play the objective, you know? So
play OBJ.
Even if it's just like a little bit of super energy or something.
Did you guys see the Edge article that came out a couple days ago? There's a little bit of info. It's kind of PvE related, but I feel like we'd be remiss to not mention it. There's
much to your chagrin.
Well, like I said, I'm getting excited.
What percentage of the news is Pop Tart related?
Yes. What chagrin?
Roughly 75%.
Edge is a pretty like respected establishment. I don't think they care too much about like American Pop Tart snacks.
So like 98%.
Right? Yeah,
they they're on the toaster strudel side.
They've stepped their
dirty Pop Tarts.
They specifically left it out. But the big one that everyone's talking about is that there are they said there are over 80 missions and PvE activities, and each is substantial in length, challenge, story, and reward.
Fully stream. So much PvE.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm here counting on my fingers, but I think 80 is more than what we got in year one of Destiny 1.
That's a lot.
Probably.
It's a lot of things. And you know, they've talked so much about how patrols are not just go collect stuff. You're going to experience a lot of lore by just being out there exploring, and there's stuff to do, and they want patrol missions to be, you know, like meaty and fun. And I don't know, that just sounds great. The other funny part is that they said there was so much new content that it was like making progression hard to deal with, because they didn't know how to like get it all in. They just had
more
content stuff
than progression, they said, which is really, you know, that they've really given it their all to not deliver a half-baked PvE experience at launch this time.
What a good problem to have. Just have like, guys, how do we get all this stuff into the game? Like, you guys made too many things, too many planets.
We need, we need people who's on Pop-Tarts. That's what we need. That's what's missing.
That's the progression they need. Yes.
That's right. Problem solved. Just get an XP boost. That'll help your progression.
Done.
Swally, yeah. have you had either of the Pop-Tarts or the Rockstar? Or are you?
I haven't. I always mean to go and get like the Rockstar just because I want to have one of them. Not even like drink it. I just want to have it. But I keep forgetting to go. So I was just, you were talking about, I was making a mental note to myself, like, I gotta get the Rockstar after the podcast is over. But I hope the PvE is worth redoing. That's my biggest issue, and that's why I don't like, because I actually do like PvE a lot in games, mm-hmm. but it's just something mm-hmm. about Destiny 1 which just doesn't feel like I don't get excited to be like, all right, let's jump on stream today and do patrol missions. It's gonna be a blast, you know. Like I want a reason to do them. I want them to be, even if they're not that fun, I want it to be like rewarding, you know.
Yeah. It's all about the gear, isn't it? Really, if you're getting good mm-hmm. gear, or if you're able to confine your or work towards a certain loadout or setup, because that's one thing that Destiny 1 gave us. Huge amounts of variety in like loadouts. How do I want to, you know, kit my character up? Do I want, you know, intellect, discipline, strength builds and this, that, and the other? Do I want different mm-hmm. reload speeds of my gloves apart from sidearms and blah, blah, blah? But like gear, acquiring gear mm-hmm. is definitely the way to go about it, I think.
I've always thought with cool. PvE, along with what Swoley's saying, one of the problems, one of the pitfalls I find in first-person shooter games is that the PvE content ends up feeling bland because so many missions are just go here, fight a wave of enemies, and that's it. There's not more complex game mechanics mm-hmm. to it than that. And I think that's why raids are like the most replayable content in Destiny 1, is because there's more to it. There's more thought behind it. It's more engaging for the player to replay. So I think the key for if the PvE story and all that and patrols and everything will be more replayable for somebody like me, or somebody like Swoley, or everybody really, is if there's more to it than just great cutscenes, but actual like memorable mission encounters or events that require a little bit more than just you're riding your sparrow to this spot while your ghost talks to you, and then you're holding square here, and then you're fighting like three waves of enemies while he downloads a thing. And then you're done.
Yeah. We want less missions like those, and just to give a Destiny 1 example, more missions like the Iron Yallerhorn mission, where you're sent to this interesting mm-hmm. PvP map and just have this crazy war going on. That was an interesting, engaging mission where you're building this exotic. And I think if the Homecoming mission in Destiny 2 is any indication, hopefully they're going to lean more to that style of story mission than some of the stuff we got in Destiny 1, because they did a lot of those missions, especially in Vanilla Destiny, did just break down to head to spot X, hold square, fight three waves of enemies, ghost unlocks a door, move in, fight a major, you're done. And based on what we've seen thus far, if we get more stuff like Homecoming, I'm good with that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Much better dynamic there.
Like, how cool would it be for the final boss on the strike, like that type, the mechanics on that enemy to be like implemented into the patrol missions in the open world and like the lost sectors and all that kind of stuff. Like just some type of mechanic that's cool mm-hmm. or looks cool. Speaking, something.
Yeah. Something. Right. And I mean, speaking specifically of patrol missions, patrols are one of the things that I'm most excited for with Destiny 2, because they've spoken so much about how it's going to be centered around exploration and all of these little activities across the map that you can explore and find, and stuff like the Lost Sectors and whatnot. And I'm really hoping a lot of those are just like what you said, Swoley. You go through something interesting, maybe a little bit of an adventure through some little area there. At the end, you fight like a strike level boss for loot, because right now, patrol missions are, you know, you go and you scan a thing, you go and you kill or collect a thing, and it's usually a pretty simple process. And there's going to be hopefully much more of a focus on exploration and just the kinds of things you can find when it comes to Destiny 2. It's one of the things I'm looking most forward to.
That is my number one like thing that I've always felt is like a missed opportunity, is how awesome patrol could be. I would love a really hard end game patrol where I'm like in a big fucking huge area.
In-game patrol. Well,
no, like, no, I'm serious. Like, I want, like, a fucking spot that's, like, you go into it and it's really hard to stay alive, or, like, there's gigantic bosses that can be really hard to fucking beat. Fallout is in tears right now for some reason.
Take down this raid level war set.
I'm sorry,
because
I'm agreeing with everything you're saying. I would really love that, because Patrol.
Yes, Patrol fucking is boring,
and King,
right?
Patrol.
I know, but I know. Insincere.
Patrol is super fun.
No,
it's so fun. When you do it, it's entertaining.
Yeah,
like it's more. I found Patrol more entertaining to go around and explore on your own, rather than the ghost. It's like, oh yeah, go here. All right, plug me into the whatever. Okay. Oh hey, there's fallen coming. All right, fucking.
Yeah.
Hold them off.
I'm
dicking around with the laser grid.
Feels like a wasteland that I could die in while I'm in it. Like, there are big enemies that I could encounter, and I need the help of the blueberries who are in the area with me to have a chance at, like, staying alive in it. Mm. Like, I don't know. I've always wanted a really hard spot that was, like, a more public area than just, like, a mission or something. I don't know.
And I've always wanted an in-game social space.
I can dig it. In-game controls.
In-game social space is called the fucking the lighthouse.
Lighthouse.
Yeah, you may have heard of it. Yeah.
Maybe you're not familiar.
Yeah, I don't know if you've ever been there, bro.
I
watched your stream earlier today. 8 wins and.
My poor guy, we were carrying that virgin. He got disconnected. Oh, it's so sad.
Oh, that sucked. That was
no.
Oh,
poor
no.
Guy.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Whatever.
I mean,
no more of that. No more of that.
Yeah, we were playing against another team, and they had a virgin on it. And we were like, me and my trial partner AK, we were like upset that our virgin got booted. We were like, let's beat these motherfuckers. We brought it to 4v4. And a 2v3, and then Meg goes in the chat. Who's like, you know, like they have a version on their team. They're doing a carry too. We're like, oh, all right, fine. We'll give it to him. At least
that's nice of you. That's good karma.
Yeah.
What
the hell are we talking about?
Well, we're on the topic of PvE. I was wanting to ask Foley. So, what did you think of the story mission? What did you think of the strike that we got to play in the beta?
I love the story mission. I thought it was... I mean, I just thought it was... Everything was really well done. I liked how... It was really interesting how they had other players in your mission when you got to, like, the actual, like, main part, like, where you usually... I don't know what the hell it's called, but the part you actually landed in the tower, and it was interesting to me because it made me think that it was... Yeah, I mean, you usually have those spots in the missions when it's in, like, part of the patrol mission. So that's why it was kind of interesting and weird to me that all of a sudden these players were inside of my mission. I love the fact that the NPCs were actually involved in the fights and you could see them and interact with them and they were talking to you in the middle of the fight. Like, it was very immersive as opposed to just, like, you hearing something over a ghost like, oh, hey, this person here, you know? I don't know. It was really awesome to me. The strike... it feels like it was so long ago. I miss it so much. But it was good. It was, for a strike, I thought it was great. I love the dynamics of, like, the last boss. I loved how, like, every, you know, something new happened, like the floors would break down every one third of its health or quarter of its health or whatever it was. I think it shows a lot of potential of what they could do with, like, raids and stuff like that. Cause the strikes are always like a dumbed down version of the raids. It shows like a little mechanic here and a little mechanic there. And then they usually throw something from there, from your missions and stuff in the final, you know, the raid for the patch or the raid for whatever's happening. So I'm excited to see what they do with the raid from the, what they're using in the strike.
Well, what's the matter? What's the matter, mate? What's the matter?
I'm fine. I'm engaging too much in the live Twitch chat right now. I'm good.
Yeah, sell that live Twitch experience for the viewers at home, Fallout.
Sorry.
Yeah. You're listening to this in the car. You're missing out. You're having less fun than all of us. Sorry.
Goodness gracious.
Second class podcast listeners.
I too am excited for what a strike mechanics will be in the raid, Swoley.
Dude, the raid. I know that was like a comedy segue, but seriously, the raid is so mysterious now because of all these changes that we know of and of changes we don't know of, not just because it's new, obviously new content. We don't know about it. It's like every time I try to think about this raid, I have just no idea what could be involved. And it's one thing to expect, you know, okay, Rise of Iron has a new raid. What's it going to be like? It's going to be Fallen themed. That's cool. We get the glimpses, but we kind of understand how raids work. It could just be completely different. This raid, based on everything that's come out so far, based on all the changes they've done, based on the fact that they have literally too much content, the raid is going to be like the most amazing thing. I mean, I'd love to talk about it, but I don't even know how to contribute because
well, we have no idea what's coming.
Mm-hmm.
We have absolutely no idea.
Do you know what
we can base it on?
Go on.
I was going to say the only thing we can base it on is what we've experienced in Destiny 1, and you know what we've learned through the Vault of Glass, through Crota's End, through King's Fall, and through the Wrath of the Machine. And I mean, for most of those experiences, it's been a pretty darn good experience, in my opinion. I've really enjoyed stuff like Wrath of the Machine, Vault of Glass. Mm-hmm. And if they take some of the lessons that they learned, I think loot system-wise, especially with Wrath of the Machine, and that's like implemented on the very first raid, I think we're in for a good experience, a rewarding experience. And I just hope that if they have another super secret hidden exotic, it doesn't require math.
It's good.
I don't want
binary.
There's
no way that they flex the math skills now. There's no way that they won't flex them again. It's like
the stars are going to have to align.
It's gonna be even harder this time.
Yeah, exactly.
Not my job.
No.
Yep, I'll
let
that out.
Let Dado tackle that and the boys.
Leave that to Dado.
Do you guys? As long as we can wildly speculate, do you expect Gaul to be the boss of the raid, or is he the end of the story mission and something bigger is the boss of the
raid? I've thought about that. Yeah, you got a good point. Like that, he's a halfway boss, and the real boss, we haven't even had a sniff of what that is.
And we've sort of seen both, right? Like Oryx was the story boss in a different form, and then that was sort of like, oh crap! All right, well we've condensed him into his throne room, but we have to go finish him in his house. I would expect maybe something different than that, but it really leaves almost all options
it
open.
It could be like Dr. Robotnik in Sonic. You could just climb in a big tank.
Oh my god, that would be awesome. If you got into
a Cabal space station.
Those ships look amazing, though. There's been so much work gone on those ships that I saw on Twitter the other day. There was like a schematic and like a 3D rendering of one. I was like, Jesus, that just looks stunning, you know, for a baddie's vehicle.
I want a mechanic like a Mario mechanic where like Gaul shoots something at you and you have to bounce on it and bounce it back at him. Ooh. And that's what blows him up.
Take out a sword and slap it.
You have to boop on a missile and it turns around and launches back at him.
I would be really, really happy in that raid. I'm not going to lie to you. That would really thrill me.
Mega
it's not about GPS at all. It's just about reflecting bob-ombs back at him that kind of dink along the floor. I can dream.
Yeah. What are the news, TB? Uncle TB, what news have we had this week?
Well, the Edge magazine had a couple of other interesting bits in it. Nightfall Strikes are going to have a time limit. For you to have to complete them, which is something we had introduced in Rise of Iron, but I don't think you actually fail the Nightfall if your time limit runs out. You just don't get gold.
Yeah, you just don't get a sunset bounty done, right? That's like
It's just you don't complete the sunset bounty or something like that. So that'll be interesting, just depending on how strict the Nightfall timer is and what happens when that timer runs out. If it boots you back to orbit, that might be brutal on some of the strikes that we get. We'll have to see. Additionally, we also got the information that the beta itself did not contain the final implementation of how energy weapons are supposed to work against AI combatants with shields. Apparently, when you take down shielded enemies with elemental weapons in the full game, it explodes and hits. It does kind of like a firefly effect on everything else around it, which, why wasn't that in the beta? I want that.
Well, it was an old build, wasn't it? So maybe that hadn't been added,
I guess. That's it.
Yeah,
that would have made things
awesome, though.
Yeah,
that does sound awesome.
Plenty more fun with the PVE.
Yeah, giving a natural firefly effect to energy weapons for anything that's shielded, that makes taking down those Minotaurs a little bit more fun.
Mm-hmm.
I can dig that.
Here's an interesting thing that sounded great, and then I thought about it more, and I was a little confused. But there's a point about clan rewards where you can get rewards that your clan does even if you're not there. I don't know if that means, like, literally you get all the raid drops you would have got if you participated in a raid, but you'll be getting things if your clan is successfully completing missions. So you might log in and just go like, oh, cool, thanks, guys. I'm pretty curious to see how that plays out, because I don't want to just do it, man.
I'd imagine it'll be some small thing, some sort of, like, insignificant, like,
disrespect to Bungie,
or currency,
like,
things. Yeah. Or, I don't know.
No disrespect to Bungie. I'm just thinking of that one in the meeting at the time. Give them things for not playing. For not playing. Yeah. No, absolutely
this
not.
Man's out of his goddamn mind.
No. You know,
I don't know when the last time you ran a strike was, buddy, but I got some bad news for you.
Hey, doing raid carries is going to be a lot easier if you don't actually have to have the player that's never done it in the party, though.
Yeah. Just log in.
Just wait in orbit. We'll add you to the clan.
We'll get you back.
Oh, man. The spam requests on Bungie.net.
Yeah. that is interesting, though. All jokes aside and stuff, I think that would be a nice little touch, because there's a bunch of games.
Perhaps
that
a materials
that.
Thing.
Yeah.
I hope it's something like if your clan does 100 raids, everyone gets a shader or something like that. Like, it's achievements, not like specific to the raid or specific mm-hmm. to the strike or something like that. That would be cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, if your clan kills 1,000. Captains, you get a cool captain helmet.
That would be sick.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah,
it definitely won't give you any like amazing top tier rewards for doing jack shit. You know what I mean? Like, if I had to compare it to D1, it's not like be like, oh, I just log in one day. It's like, oh, hey, my clan did the raid. I got a touch of malice. Cool.
Yeah.
Like, thanks, Mega. And what did you get? It's like, I got a casket mag hand cannon or something.
Oh, awesome.
You're just in a strike and someone's like, hey, where'd you get that icebreaker? It's like, I don't know, my clan.
I think the way Swally said makes the most sense, where like it's like something you would have to do as a group effort. That's like a lot of completions of something, or a lot of hours in something, or even if they make it so you only get the rewards if you've added to the number in some small way, at least.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. That would be interesting to me. But I'm down with it. It's just going to be skins for your guns or something stupid. That's what it's going to be.
Yeah.
All right.
Probably going to be something cosmetic.
Yeah.
Boys, guess what? We've approached that time cap where we usually ask the questions. Is that agreeable?
We get asked the questions.
Already.
Well, I think we should direct some questions to our fantastic new guest here. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, folks,
I actually had one.
I actually had
a question.
Have it?
Yeah.
So,
everyone else gather your questions and stuff, and I'll ask the first one. Swally, how long will it be before you play a PvP game? So, September 6th, game is out. You just turned it on. How long can you resist before you start playing PvP?
I do every PvE thing in the entire game before I hop into a single PvP game, because I don't want to
straight through. Yeah.
I don't want to mess it up and like go in there with a crap gun or something like that and end up having a really bad KD and everybody's just killing me. So I want to get like everything and then go in there just like full speed.
I like that. That's
this is a true PvP man. He's worried about his numbers. Like, the first game without my grenade unlocked. What a waste of time.
Yeah,
I feel you.
I don't want to be able to have excuses about why my KD's so bad, you know? I just want to earn my bad KD, so I wait until after all PvE content as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
I always do that, but that's a good way of doing things, because it's gear and unlocking all your nodes. You've got to give love to the nodes before you can go and battle in a fair playing field, man. You've got to have your nodes.
Yeah. Yeah, I think also is determined a little bit on how you progress, like, at the end of the story, how ready are you? Like, what do you need, or do you have to then go, start patrolling and do strikes and things like that?
Yeah,
I'm fine either way. I know I'll want to, like, see all the maps quick, but same thing. I don't want to spend so much time trying to really get good with some blue gun that I'm going to get rid of. pretty plus soon, fact, you know.
PvE is fresh in everyone's eyes, so you can stream it without everyone going, yeah, God, man. Play something else. You know?
What is this?
What is this? Everyone's like, no, wow, PvE, God. How does it taste? How does it smell? Is it good? I want to see more.
Plus, you're not gonna play PvP and find something new and cool and fascinating for everybody on stream or on YouTube or anything like that as a content creator. But if you're just patrolling or you're hitting up the lost sectors or the missions, you're the first person to get max level or something like that. Like that's a pretty cool achievement.
Yeah,
PvP is just like, I killed a guy.
Although I'd like to think that in because you know how the rewards were working for the beta at the end of the game, bang, legendary. It's just legendary. You're like, oh, okay, cheers. All right, then. Yeah. I wonder if that's going to carry through to the you know, the final product, because I kind of liked that, you know.
That'll almost certainly be tied to whatever your level is. If you're max level, you're probably going to have a higher chance to get legendary drops and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, we know the way these things usually work in Destiny. Crucible is going to have a set loot list of things that can drop post-game. And, I mean, I'd like it if it was as free with legendaries as it was in the beta. That'd be awesome. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, who knows? We'll just have to see.
I'm liking the exotics that they said they're going to add for lower level, too. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that caught me by surprise.
I kind of figured they were going to do something with it just because, you know, the first mission, you can pick up the exotic from that room, like the class-specific one. But to hear that they're going to have more than just your class-specific gun is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
So. And they said you're going to find it in, like, the open world and stuff, too, which is also pretty cool.
Yeah.
We got a little bit of a taste with that with the Homecoming mission, and I wonder if that mission's going to be the same when the full game comes out, if you get into Shaxx's vault and get to pull out an exotic right off the bat.
Yeah, I'm kind of expecting, like, a entry level, like, what was actually on the weapon racks and stuff, and I think that was maybe a beta surprise, but I like that idea of truly treasure hunting. You know, so when you're finally done with the story and says, like, hey, go wild, go look around, and you're actually just out there doing something and you find something that's, like, an awesome reward, that's going to feel great. I mean, obviously, you'll have to kill some baddies, but it's not just, like, do this a set number of times for X amount of damage or whatever and get something. I just love the idea that exploring will actually come into play. And then, like you said, too, is that when you're the first to find it, you're the guy who went to that one lost sector in the EDZ and you beat the boss and it was tough because you're low light and you finish it and you get some awesome gun or like an exotic and then you're like, hey, this is where it is. Then everyone else can just like go book it to that like the gold rush. And that's going to be an awesome, fun time the first week.
There's a dog wants to say, I think he's got a question for you at the minute. Where is my dinner?
Socks.
Where's my dinner?
He sucks.
I like in, I don't remember what interview it was or who it was with, but it was right after E3. I remember watching an interview and they said that they're actually, you know, the reason that they're going to have exotics and stuff like that in the open world is because they want the lore behind it and they want you to know, like, why that gun is there, and they want you to know the backstory of the gun and why you're using it and why it shoots like that and all that. So it was,
I'm
excited to learn more about it because it'll feel like the Thorn again. It'll feel like, you know, it's not just going to be some random exotic. It's like, oh, it's a cool gun.
Absolutely.
I worked my ass off for Invective the first time, and it was so good to like really like earn that first exotic, and then I didn't use it because it was
Pocket Infinity.
It felt great to get
Pocket Infinity. Destroy 15 blue fusion rifles that were 10 a penny before you got the quest, and then they just vanished off the face of the earth. You had to tune into if the gunsmith was selling them to. But that like immediacy, I have to have that. Like, I remember the first time I saw a screen grab of Monte Carlo. I was like, oh my God, look at that. I want that. Where does it come from? Who made it? What does it do? How do I get it? You know, plenty more of that,
please.
That
was me with Hawk Moon.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
I got super distracted by something forever ago, and I just want to ask. Swoley said that the exotics we got were class-specific. Is that confirmed? Because in the trailer, the Warlock uses the Sunshot in the PvP trailer that came out. So that
I think... I just meant by that you had to be that class in the mission.
In the beta. Okay,
right.
Cool.
Yeah, in the beta.
And because we didn't have
to make sure that this wasn't a thing I didn't know. I was like, what? What? Yeah.
Yes. Bad phrasing on my part.
Got to be on top of our news here on Planet Destiny Podcast.
I'm just trying to be preemptive on some guy in the comments for Swoley's sake.
here's a tough question from Cable. Is what are you least excited about in D2? Like, I think we're all universally freaking thrilled, but I'm like sitting here trying to think of what doesn't just make me like, oh yeah, I want to do that. It's a tough question.
Here's what I'm least excited about. After I go through the game one time and level up whatever class I probably start off, like I'll probably level up my warlock, both trees, all the way through. I'll be like, nice. All right, now I got to level up the Titan. All right, now I got to level up the Hunter. God damn it, just got to go through the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Fast forwarding through all my ghosts talking to me like, yeah, I've been here before. You can shut up. Just tell them, like, beat this mission already.
Hey,
God
you'll
damn
be able
it.
To skip cutscenes now, probably, maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Who knows? That's actually kind of a scary thought, though, because they're saying there's so much content in the game. They had trouble, you know, keeping up with the progression and stuff. It's going to take me like 3 weeks to get a class to, you know, whatever level. It's going to be a pain in the butt.
I'm just going to pay Bungie, like, whatever the item is. It's like, oh, $30 for, like, a no fun level up a title. They're like, yeah, whatever, take it. Here's the card.
Take my money.
Charge what you got to charge. Mm-hmm.
Hunter. What are we looking for?
I think I have an answer. Yeah. Least excited about redesigning my Titan and Hunter. Because I think that those will just sort of look the same. And I feel like it's not that great to go into a character design with the thought of like, okay, what won't I hate in like 3 weeks? You know, just trying to make it like be appeasing for at least a long period of time and be like, all right, I'm not going to reset this. So this is going to be, I just don't want to make anything too ugly. And that's just, that's not that exciting. I was maybe thinking character creation would be redone, but I think in the next iteration will probably be Destiny 3 or whatever. We'll have a much more hardcore graphics upgrade, and at that point it'll be worth
Beards
it. It'll be
D3.
Worth it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, looking forward to D3 here, folks. That's what I'm excited for.
Start the hype train now.
I bet you they're gonna sell a redesign of your character on the Eververse. I'm calling it. Yeah.
Oh, gee,
$5 redesign
I
your
see
face.
That happening.
I wouldn't. I'd probably do it. If that was in Destiny 1, I probably would have done it, honestly.
Everybody looks kind of jank in Destiny 1, so yeah.
There's no way I'm porting my character over. It's disgusting.
I don't know, my warlock looks good, man. I got a good, nice, tidy little warlock, man, that's worth bringing over on PlayStation for sure.
Nice.
This guy.
Yeah.
I would say the thing I'm looking forward to least is building back up resources, stuff like weapon parts, armor parts, currencies and whatnot. I can't imagine that they're ever going to go back to a system anywhere near what we had in year one, where every class had like specific armor parts that they had to build up.
Yeah.
But I'm not looking. I remember the nightmares of always running out of weapon parts throughout year one, and really having no way to get those back.
Yeah.
And I'm really not looking forward to building up the stockpiles of those base materials in Destiny 2. That's probably the one
thing I'm
dreading.
Something's going to be stingy. There's going to be a certain resource that's like, oh, you like that, do you? You want a bit of that, do you? Well, you're going to have to commit all of your hours. In fact, you're going to have to commit your sleeping hours as well. So you might as well, you know that X-Files where there was like a dead body in a caravan or in like a camper van kind of thing, and he was like fused to the internet or something like that. That's what you're going to have to do to farm these resources, you know.
I'm just going to outsource it to like a click farm in Thailand or something. I don't know.
There you go. Go grind in shard base. Give me my weapon parts.
Yeah. Honestly, the things I'm least excited for are mostly problems that I kind of create for myself. There's not anything in game that I'm that upset about. It's mostly like, I'm not excited to see all the stuff on PC that I won't get to play with awesome high frame rates because I don't have a great PC to play it on.
Yet.
And I'm not excited for having to film things with the potential of no sword glitch to get rid of my gun for video stuff because might not be in there. So I'm going to have to revert back to you wait 4 minutes for your gun to go down in PvE situations, and then you can't have any enemies appear on your radar or have anybody shoot you or touch your triggers at all, or it brings it back up. and it sucks.
Holy shit, that sounds terrible.
Yeah, yeah. We filmed whole episodes of the Machinima, of that.
Basically,
yeah,
that would be.
Dude,
end.
I'm telling you right now, just rebrand Husky Raid into a cooking channel. Yeah. I would not pay
attention to
that.
So those
that
are
was
my
your only chance.
These are problems I have created for myself. Nothing in the game that really upsets me. So I can't,
Kings of the podcast.
There it is.
The new wave, the new direction. In the chat, then, has anyone got any more questions for our esteemed guest? If not,
I actually have a question.
Well, you do it.
I have a question in not a Destiny 2 related question, but since this is the final weekend of trials ever for Destiny 1, which we didn't really discuss, but it is, there's no more of it. Mm-hmm. I'd like to ask if you have a favorite trials memory of all the years you got to play trials. Mm-hmm. Why not? A little reminisce about it, you know? Yeah, I can start while you think, if you want. I can talk about it. I'd say I haven't played Trials a lot until very recently. So I have two easy answers. First time going flawless with Fallout and Anno, which we had to do off stream because the two times we attempted to do it on stream, it didn't work, and he needed to be able to vent more than he could reasonably do on stream.
You brought the worst out of that.
Wait, yeah.
We did. I know, it's
we
wild.
We did it, though.
It's not his fault. It was me and Anno not shooting the fucking barrels and standing next to them. Like, was the problem that made him throw a water bottle at one point across the room. And then my other favorite memory would be then eventually Sherpaing somebody to the lighthouse with Fallout just to bring it all back around, which was...
My favorite Charles memory when you guys did that.
Yeah. Woo. Beautiful.
That's a good one.
All right, and I'll open it to Swoley to start if he wants, or anybody else if they have one.
I got one. It was so there's a regular in my chat that he had never been flawless about 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago, maybe. Never been flawless. Tried trials every single weekend, couldn't get it. And I was playing with Chad Lantis, and we couldn't do it. We ended up getting like the same team three times in a row that was like super sweaty, 2.8 KDs. It was on Black Shield was the map too, so it was like a terrible map.
What are these guys doing still? I'm sorry. What are they? Why? I just want to know why. But it's
who knows, man. Who knows? And we kept losing every game like 5-4 against. Well, we won the first one, then we lost the next two against them 5-4, and it was just, you know, felt so bad for the guy who was super excited about it. So he leaves. He goes to enter another raffle. We do a raffle in our chat, and we're 8-0 on our card. He ends up winning Beastly Snipes and Dark Knights raffle, if you know them. Mm-hmm. And they're 8-1, I think, on their card, and they match up against us, and we see them on the other team, and we're like, oh, we got to bag out for this guy. And we open up his Beastly stream, and the guy's like freaking out because we backed out of the game. He's like, you guys all got me flawless. I can't think, you know, he's going on for like 20 minutes. And he's like taking pictures and tweeting about it. And like, he's just super happy. And it's like, you know, it's just, that's kind of why you still do trials now, is for things like that. It's not for myself. That's for damn sure.
Yeah.
You mean you don't need your 100th flawless, Swoley? What? You don't need another exile student? What are you saying?
His camera turns to the left and there's just check marks etched into the wall.
But it's, you know, we took a video of it and we put it up. It's got like 200, 300 views or something like that instantly. And he's gonna make us all stained glass, like, emblems or something like that from Destiny and send them to us. He's
awesome.
Like so excited.
Whoa. That's really cool.
Definitely up there with top trials moments.
That's really cool.
And I didn't even have to do anything, just back out.
I just had to lose. I do that all the time anyway.
You know, you pay for it.
Bones,
I would say I wanna say my favorite trials memory. I wanna say my favorite trials memory is the match that convinced me to never run it again. Like way back in year one, about 3 weeks before Taken King came out, where I and my buddies, we were 8-0 on a final match. We were up two games, and the other team, I guess, just decided, all right, we're not going to win against these guys. Screw it. And the DDoSes came. So one by one, my two teammates, my brother and my buddy, just got kicked one round. Next round, my buddy was kicked. Then it was finally me 1v3. So I was just like, all right, well, they're going to rush on me. they all kind of just kind of spread around the map, came around towards me, and before they could land a shot on me, I dropped out of the match just to rob them of the opportunity. I want to say that was my favorite moment because that was the moment that made me say, all right, never again. Mm. But actually, my favorite Trials memory is easily the creation of Darth Nader.
Yay.
My man, Mr. Fallout Plays.
Oh, thank you. Awesome.
A while back, running Trials with Shake of the Destiny Funpo. Mm. They were just getting the scummiest players over and over again, relying on nothing but fusion nades. They wound up getting a little bit angry, thought they were going to quit, said, okay, we'll just do one more match, and Fallout decides to say, ah, screw it, I'm going to go with fusion nades. And from there on out, it was the end. Every kill, fusion nade around the corner, fusion nade on your foot, fusion nade behind the back of your head, bounce it off the backboard. Taking it all the way, and that was probably just the funniest.
You can't tell the story link without including "Welcome to Trials" after every single kill.
Welcome to Trials. Every time I got a fusion, like hashtag Welcome to Trials.
That was by far my favorite Trials stream ever.
Oh man,
nice,
lovely, jubbly. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it appears we have run to time, so that would be the end. Would you like to take us away, please, Fallout?
I would love to.
Would you love to? That's great.
Yes. All right, everybody. If you're here with us on Twitch for the live show, don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. Mega, Flex, intimidate them, please. Because now is the time to give us some suggestions in the chat on who you think we should all collectively raid, which is something you at home can join us for next time on the show if you tune in live. Reminder, the PD podcast is every Sunday night at 10:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Pacific, and we'd like to thank our very, very special guest, Swoley Bible, for joining us on the show tonight. Swoley, why don't you take a minute, tell the people at home where they can find your handsome behind.
You guys could find me twitch.tv/SwoleyBible or just on Twitter at SwoleyBibleTV. So that's all I really do.
Go follow this man.
Damn, that was
right
clean.
Now.
Attaboy.
Go
attaboy.
Follow this guy.
Do it. Follow
him. Are you scaring me right now?
And for us here at the PD Podcast, I'm Fallout Plays. You can find me over at youtube.com/Fallout Plays and twitch.tv/Fallout Plays. You can find Story at youtube.com/Story Machine, spelled with a 4, not an A, and twitch.tv/Story Machine. Spelled with a 4, not with an A. You can find Bones over at CrucibleRadio.com and on the Crucible Radio podcast, the podcast for all things Destiny PvP. You can find Mega at YouTube.com/HuskyRaid and on his own Twitch channel at Twitch.tv/MegaMagwitch. And you can find The Black Link at YouTube.com/TheBlackLink and nowhere else. Don't look.
Nowhere else.
Because it's only there. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next week on the podcast.